Adam is given a mission by God. Adam's mission, the Bible tells us, is to work the garden, to till it, and to protect it. To till and to keep, to work and to protect. Adam's job is to protect the garden, to protect the animals, and way more important than any of that, to love his bride, Eve, whom God will give him. But to do that, to exercise his mission, Adam has to be prepared. So St. John Paul II tells us, God brought all of the beasts of the field and the birds of the air before Adam. Because Adam was being prepared to find a helper fit for him. And St. John Paul II says, why did God bring the beasts of the field and the birds of the air before Adam when he was looking for a helper fit to him? Certainly, God did not think that Adam was going to marry the giraffe. That wouldn't make sense. But St. John Paul II says that God brought the animals before Adam so that he might see that there was something different between Adam and between the animals. That the animals, in fact, were not a helper fit for him. That, in fact, the animals were something that he had to guard and that he had to protect and that he had to care for. That they were something that was lower than him. You ever looked into an animal's eyes? It's different than looking into the eyes of a human being. I mean, the cats and all are cute, but there's something different. The animals are not a helper fit for Adam because when Adam gazes upon the animals, Adam sees, St. John Paul II teaches us, that they cannot think. Not like he does. They cannot choose to love like he does. There's something different. And by the something different, Adam begins to learn from God who he is. And St. John Paul II teaches us that this experience of learning who man isn't just like a male thing. It isn't just Adam, but in this case, in this instance, God, Adam stands not for just man, male, but for all of humanity. And how men and women first must see who we are from God. Adam learns by contradistinction with the animals that he has an intellect, that he can think and that he can reason, and that he has a will that he can love. And St. John Paul II says that man and woman, has to come to this self-knowledge. He says that the progression is that a human being knows himself, and then knowing himself, he might possess himself so that he can give himself. Because you see, you can't give what you don't have. And so you can't have what you don't know. So Adam has to come to know who he is, which he does in contradistinction with the animals, and in relationship with God, to come to possess himself, to come to have mastery over his will, over any emotions, over any passions, to be able then to give himself to his mission, to be able to till, to be able to keep, but most importantly, to be able to give himself to his bride, who, unlike the animals, is not lesser than him, but who is taken from his side, from a rib in his side. And St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that why was Eve taken from the side of Adam? St. Thomas Aquinas says Eve was taken from the side of Adam. Well, she wasn't taken from his head because that would show that she was superior to him. But she wasn't also taken from his feet because that would show that she was lesser than him. But she is taken from his side to show that woman is equal to man and man is equal to woman. And Adam's biggest mission is to love his bride. And he fails. Because pretty soon, in the next chapter, the serpent enters the garden and he tempts Eve, and Adam's right there next to her, and the serpent's tempting and Adam's not doing anything. Scott Hahn says it's because Adam was scared. I guess that's true. Whatever reason, Adam isn't doing anything. Eve takes of the fruit. She gives it to her husband who is with her, and he eats it. However that looked, they disobey God. They fall. And what does Adam do? He hides. And what does God do? He searches. Adam failed in his mission, so he hid from relationship with the God who taught him who he is. He failed, so he was ashamed, so he hid, so he tried to move out of, and he did, move out of relationship with God. But God searched. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And the way God designed humanity, we are first to be in relationship with him. That's original solitude. That's man, human being, alone with God. And in relationship with God, we learn our identity. We learn who we are because we know whose we are. We learn that we are different than the animals. We learn that we are loved. We learn that we are even searched for by God. And in that we come to possess ourselves. So that with an identity rooted in relationship with God, we can go out on our mission to till the garden, to keep the garden, to protect and honor the woman, to love the man, to support him. To be father and to be mother. And even in lesser things, to be a good mechanic or a good nurse or a good lawyer or a good school teacher or a good homemaker, a good provider. But in this world, after the fall, where we're supposed to receive our identity from our relationship with God, and that sends us out into the mission. In this world, after the fall, we got it backwards. Who are you? I'm a mechanic. I'm a school teacher. And oftentimes, in this world, our purpose comes from our role. And we say, "Oh, well, all right, I'm a mechanic, and I'm a good person if I'm a good mechanic." And or even with a deeper thing, I'm a good person because I'm a good dad or because I'm a good mom. And so my mission, how I do, let's say, as a parent, influences who I think I am as my identity. And then my relationship with God is either deep or shallow, depending upon how I feel about myself. So if I fail in the mission, like Adam, what I want to do is I want to hide and run away from God because I think that who I am depends not on whose I am, but upon what I do. And that is a lie from Satan, the accuser. That's what Adam did. God said, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God says to Adam, you are very good. But Adam, when he failed in his mission, said, no, I'm not. I am ashamed and afraid. What if it had gone differently? What if Adam hadn't gotten the relationship and the identity and the mission backwards? But what if Adam had said, oh no, I failed at my mission, but God said I'm very good, so I'm going to go to God and say, God, I failed. I'm sorry. I don't know what to do. I need help. I don't know what would have happened. Maybe things would have been differently. Would have been different. Maybe not. But things can be different for us. For you and for me. Because sometimes we come face to face with, all my life, I've really put my identity in being a parent. And I tried to raise my kids the right way. And they don't go to church. I even sent them to Catholic school. We went to Mass every Sunday. They don't go to church. They might be addicted or often bad relationships. Where did I go wrong? Something's wrong with me. That. I'm going to hide from God. Because I think that my relationship with God is about what I do. And God says, no, you are very good. Maybe you did fail at aspects of your mission. Certainly you did sin at some point or another, as we do. But you are good. Adam, where are you? Come back to me. Because your relationship with me, while yes, it requires repentance, while yes, it requires a striving for holiness, your relationship with me is not a response to who I am, to who you are. So my relationship with God is not a response to who I am, but a response to who God is. The Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that God calls man first. You and I, we might forget our Creator, or hide far from his face. But the Catechism says that God tirelessly pursues each one of us. And God's tireless pursuit is not dependent upon how we do in our mission. God's pursuit is not dependent upon our success, upon our failure. And so if we put relationship with God first, and if we go to him in every failure, and in repentance for every sin, and in joy, in gratitude at every joy, and if we go to him, and if we come to prayer, and if we enter into deeper relationship with him, then we receive our identity from God, and our identity depends not so much on who we are or who we think we are, but upon whose we are. And if my identity is dependent upon whose I am and upon who searches for me and upon who says that I am very good, then my mission, it doesn't matter what my mission is. It only matters with whom I do my mission. It doesn't matter what my mission is. It only matters with whom I do my mission. And so my mission might change. I might have put my identity in being the best lawyer in Thibodaux, or the best seamstress in Lafourche Parish, or in how successful was this aspect of my marriage, or this aspect of raising my children, or how much money I have, or what things I do. Now put my identity in all this. But you know what? If that goes away, if my memory starts to fade, and I'm not really as good at the things that I do as I used to be, or if I used to be like the star athlete and the cool kid, and that really doesn't matter anymore, it doesn't hold any clout as I get older, or if I used to be the best, you know, carpenter or mechanic, and now my hands don't work like they used to, well, then maybe God's calling me to something new. Maybe God's calling me to something different. And I can only receive a new beginning if my hands are open and not holding on to an old mission. Every beginning begins when something ending ends. Every beginning begins when something ending ends. And if I want to go on the adventure with God of the new beginning of whatever season of my life I'm in right now, then I've got to be secure enough in my identity from Him, not from my mission, that I can let go of this mission. I can let go of this season. I can let go of this aspect of my life to follow Him into a new adventure. Because in the end, it's not about what I'm doing. It's about with whom I'm doing it. How much happier could we be if we beg God for that grace? How much happier could we be if our self-esteem and our feelings of self-worth, and more importantly than that, if our relationship with God were dependent not upon what we do, but upon whose we are?